see. They never wanted me. The curse is laid upon my race. Useless serpents, they bring disgrace. A man without a face. Of time they pass again. It's so hard to tell where and when. Yeah, just do the best you can. The flames will burn away the waste. All the lies that they told erased. A man without face. A man without a 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 face.
Welcome, dear ladies and gentlemen, to the Rabbit Hole Radio Show with your host, David James. Well, good day, dear kinswomen and dear kinsmen. The Father is blessing the land right now with a beautiful rain, and I just love the rain. I love it in every way. Ah, the crackling. I just love, water is one of the most wonderful things that the Father has given us, and we are the children of the water, because you must be born of water and spirit. And I've told you about the children of the flame, how they claim that they came from the flame and they're going to return to the flame, and they surely will. Praise the Father in heaven. I must tell you that I'm reaching goal after goal after goal after goal, and I'm working on, I was thinking of it yesterday, I'm working on close to 15 projects at a time, whether it's, I can tell you some of them, working on the land, working on electrical things, working on Comp Array, WG Finley, which I've just received a big booty of, and so good things will be coming from that in the future, folks. I'm about halfway done with the Revelation one. That is in the primary, and once they're all done, I have to kind of go through and remove the rest of his coughs and everything. I mean, it's just, there's so many noises these men make. You sit there and you wouldn't believe how many there are, and you have to remove them. And it's painstaking. But hopefully we will be able to, you know, have very good recordings because of it. I'm somebody who's thorough and likes to do the best I can. But, you know, regardless, I can only do the best I can with what I have. So the Comp Array Masters are not perfect at all, not even close. And there's problems. And I can only make them as good as I can. For some reason, Comp Array used cheap tapes, and they didn't last very well. And used it at one of the slowest settings, which is even worse. So, you know, hindsight, you look at it, and you know, if you run a tape faster, it uses more tape for the recording, but the quality is, you know, high quality. Now, you don't need audiophile quality, really, for vocals, you know, or, you know, dictation or whatever it is, but, you know, the Comp Array tapes seemed, I mean, the Wesley Swift, that's another project I'm working on. You know, that those tapes were better quality tapes in the first place. Not that those are perfect either, but they're a lot easier to do. The William Finley comes off of cassette tapes, and it sure is easier than trying to take them off reel to reel and get that right and go, you know, I've already worked over 100 hours on just getting the Comparé and Swift off the reel to reels. And you may say, wow, well, that's right. That's only 100 hours to get it from the tape, the reel to reel tape onto discs. I mean, into the computer, into the digital realm. And then it takes, you know, it's going to be at least another 100 hours. I mean, at least to, you know, remove, you know, the hiss and all those things and all the coughs and people banging on the podiums and all kinds of crazy things that go on. So I'm just telling you, but these are things I'm working on so many levels here, you know, trying to reach the goals. And it's very exciting. Most people don't even, if you looked at how many goals I would reach in a year's period, most people don't even reach that many goals in their lifetime. Now, there are people that do, though. But I've been goal-oriented for a very long time, and I really love the sense of accomplishment. I think that's an Anglo-Saxon thing, you know, to have a work ethic and to do it right and to see it through. You know, you set the goal, you reach the goal, and you get excited about that. You get the feeling of accomplishment, and it actually propels you to accomplish other things and more things, you know. So it's exciting what's going on. I also wanted to mention that please keep praying for Michael. I haven't heard any further news at this point, but last time I talked to Linda, she said to please ask the brethren and thank the brethren, she said, and the sisters. Ask them to keep praying for Michael. And also, John's daughter, Nikki, she has a baby boy inside of her, and the boy is due any time now. And it takes about 2 hours to get to the midwife. So please continue praying for Nikki, and may the Father bring forth a healthy baby boy in the mighty name of Yahweh. Well, Miss Elke says hello. She's laying down here on the floor with me. Well, I'm not laying down on the floor. She is. So anyway, I don't know. It is so amazing to me how astounding it was to have the midweek news this week where we read about a teacher telling what it was like to be a teacher in the multi-culti arena. If you didn't hear that, you must hear it. It's on this week's midweek news. I believe it was the 13th. So 5/13/2020. Don't miss that. Believe me, don't miss that. Wow. Also, I just want to keep mentioning to you about this, that the best ways to get the show at this point is to go on davidjamesboston.com. That's where you will receive it the fastest. BitChute is... I still don't have last week's Saxon's Creed up. It's nothing but a fight with BitChute. And I've got no choice but to suck it up, and there's nothing I can do about it. So understand, I'm not really being late with the shows. They're just not letting me put them up. So sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. Just wanted to warn you about that. So, we're in The Red Network by Elizabeth Dilling. And we're on page 32, if you'd like to read along with me. And it says, Tactics. I'll take a sip of coffee while you reach that. The socialist method of attaining power has been the inspiration for the adjective which communists regularly bestow upon their socialist brothers. Can you hear the rain? Listen to this. They call the socialists yellow, quote unquote, and the Second International the Yellow International, quote unquote. This socialist method, says Hernshaw, is the method of sapping rather than assault, of craft rather than force, of subtlety rather than violence. Permeation has been their watchword. Above all, they have tried to bemuse the public mind into belief that socialism and collectivism are synonymous terms, and that all they are aiming at is a harmless and beneficent extension of state and municipal enterprise. Yeah, they sure are. By the way, let me mention something. Somebody on Gab posted a video of the Italian Parliament, and some woman got up and she said a lot of things about Bill Gates, that Bill Gates is a criminal, and was calling for the Prime Minister or the President, I don't know what he's called there, to arrest Bill Gates if he's to come to Italy or to send him to the court. In other words, she's called for Bill Gates to be arrested as a criminal. He is a criminal. He's not a doctor. He's not an expert. He's nothing but a devil in shoe leather. And he wants to kill the white race. Believe me, he does. They try to say that he did all this to the black race, but we all know that he is one of the reasons why the black race has, the population has exploded. He said so himself. And he said he regretted it a couple years ago, I guess it was now. Remember I talked about that? He's harmed many, many people with playing around with vaccines. And this is all, you know, if you've got money, you can just do what you want in the world, and you're an immediate expert because you got money. Well, he's not an expert. He's a dangerous criminal. And he's an enemy to the white race. The white race is not the human race, as we have been talking about, right? Human is colored man. That's why it's all about human rights. Human. So, let's hope that Bill Gates will get arrested. But we have Soros, who's an international criminal, and Kissinger, who's an international criminal. There are certain countries, if they ever step foot on that soil, they'll be arrested immediately. But they never get arrested, see? So it continues here. Even Frederick Engels, collaborator of Karl Marx, writing to his friend Sorge in America, who collected Florence Kelly's letters from Engels and placed them in the New York Public Library, in commenting on the camouflage, subterfuge, and indirection of Fabian socialists, said, quote, their tactics are to fight the liberals, not as decided opponents, but to drive them onto socialistic consequences, therefore to trick them to permeate liberalism with socialism. And that's exactly what's happened, right? And not to oppose socialistic candidates to liberal ones, but to palm them off, to thrust them on under some pretext. All is rotten, unquote. That's from the Socialist Review, Volume 1, page 31. Even more rotten is the attempt of misnamed Christian, quote-unquote, socialists to deceive Christians into believing that Marxism is like Christianity. It's the absolute opposite of Christianity. It was designed to be that way. It was created deliberately as the antithesis, not only of Christianity, but of capitalism. Right? Okay, back to the book. The Daily Northwestern of December 13, 1932, under the heading Niebuhr claims Marxian theory like Christian, quote unquote, reviews Niebuhr's book, Moral Men and Immoral Society, which has been praised by both the communist and socialist Red Press for its correct Marxian position in setting forth the necessity for bloody class hate and revolution. It quotes him saying, the religio-political dreams of the Marxians have an immediate significance which the religio-ethical dreams of the Christians lack. Yes, indeed, the religio-political dreams of the Marxians include the destruction of Christianity and of the very moral principles Christ held dear. Now, that qualifies them as being antichrist, correct? Correct. You say you want a revolution. Well, you know, we're all doing what we can. Hello? You dig? You see, Lenin was not only a Satanist. I believe he's a Jew. There are people in England say, oh, no, he's not a Jew. You look at him and you put the curls on him. Now, I don't know if the first John Lennon is the same John Lennon that ended up being on Abbey Road, etc., etc., but something's weird. His nose turned into this hook nose big time. And he was, the whole song, you know, about, you know, no heaven above us. Imagine all the people living for today. See? He's a Marxist himself. He's anti-Christ. And that's very clear. So, of course, he's a hero of the world. And it's funny that even though he was a hero, the foreign by Israel were following him around. You know what I mean? It's very interesting. But they all want to kill Christianity. And you know who the communists are. You know who created communism. It's Jews. They've made it clear. There's no question on what point they stand on. There's no question on where they stand. They are antichrist to the core. The Jews. And all those that they get to adhere to this ideology, this fake ideology that does not translate to reality. As I always say, these ideologies that these Jews come up with, they just don't translate to reality. That's why communism doesn't work. So, back to the reading here. Whenever and wherever Marxians attain power, as in Mexico, Russia, or Spain, Christian churches are significantly and immediately closed or destroyed and Christians persecuted. We see a lot of that going on in the world today. Reinhold Niebuhr is one of America's outstanding Christian, quote-unquote, socialists. You can't see, this is like Judeo-Christianity. They don't fit together. Now, we're not talking about national socialism. That's a different thing. In company with Harry Ward and others of the same kind who adorn platforms at communist meetings, he teaches at Union Theological Seminary, where the LID conference on guiding the revolution, quote unquote, was held and from whence Arnold Johnston went forth. There it is again. the name, to Kentucky last year as representative of the ACLU, that's a communist organization, to be arrested for criminal syndicalism. Niebuhr was honored with a place on the platform as speaker for the communist-controlled U.S. Congress Against War, held in New York City September 29th. 1933. That's 9, and 3 times 3 is 9. 9 and 9 is 18. 666. So, in 33, in company with Earl Browder, General Secretary of the Communist Party, and Henri Barbusi, French communist, guest of honor, Daily Worker. The Philadelphia Record of October 1433 reported, Reinhold Niebuhr, Union Theological Seminary professor, he's a seminary professor, but he's a socialist, a Christian socialist, which is no such thing, ladies and gentlemen. It's ridiculous, ridiculous. This world is nothing but hybridism. Remember when we were reading the other book there by the Catholic fellow, The Plot Against the Church, how he talked about the Gnostics mixing things with Christianity. Believe it or not, when I was downloading some of these tapes for William Finley, and this has nothing to do with William Finley, it had to do with the site where some of the tapes were coming from. It said, from the Church of Christian Gnostic. You knowing who I am and what I know and what you know also, immediately I alerted on it. No such thing. Oh, it's so ridiculous. So everything in this world is a mix. Mixed seeds, mixed people, hybrids, hybrid cars, hybrid drinks, fusion drinks. Fusion, that's a word of hybridism. You know, putting things together that don't go together, that don't emulsify properly. Or if they emulsify, it's for a short period and then they separate anyway because they're just not meant to go together. Oil and water doesn't go together. So, let's continue. His open leaning toward revolution was expressed at the opening of a 3-day joint regional conference of the Women's International League for Peace and Freedom and the Fellowship of Reconciliation at Swarthmore College, a pacifist conference. Karl Marx, the idol of Reinhold Niebuhr, denies the existence of God or Supreme Spirit in any form. He teaches the desirability and inescapable necessity of class hatred, class revolution, envy and covetousness, the abolition of the family unit and of marriage, the communizing of woman, state ownership of children, that matter and force constitute all of creation. That only materialistic circumstance guides destiny, character, and history. That man's spirit is as material as the chemical effervescence or an electric spark which flickers out and rots with the body. That, quote, religion is the opium of the people, unquote. That with the vanishing of property rights, religion and morality will vanish, along with other bourgeois sentimentalities, unquote. I hope you're hearing all that. See, this promotes everything. Doesn't the Ten Commandments tell us not to be covetous or envy in a sense, you know what I mean? It's just amazing all the things that they wish to do. Listen again. I'll just highlight what we just saw. Well, there's a necessity for class hatred. So if I'm in the lower class and you're in the mid class, you're supposed to hate me because I'm not good enough to be in your class. And that goes for the, so class hatred, you get it? Class revolution, envy and covetousness. See, this is promoted. The abolition of the family unit, which the fathers said that we should replenish the earth. And the word replenish doesn't mean what you think it does when it says that. It means to make full. That's what the Hebrew word means. I got that from W.G. Finley because he was teaching about that, and he said that that is not what it means when he told Adam and Eve, oh, he told Adam to replenish the earth. What it means in Hebrew is to make it full. Now, this is saying the opposite, correct? You see what I'm saying? In other words, the abolition of the family unit, so there'll be no making the earth full, you see? End of marriage, the communizing of woman. We've seen what's happened to the satanically modified women of our race. That's not to be confused with the good women that are godly women that love the Father. We have some decent women in the world. You know, I have railed against the satanically modified women in the past in my recordings. And some women have taken it as that it fit them, and they got angry about it. Other women agreed with me. But what they didn't realize was I wasn't talking about them. If the shoe doesn't fit, then that wasn't about you. See, I'm usually, if I'm railing on women, I'm railing on the satanically modified women that we have all around us in our society. That's what the communizing of women is. That's the only reason I'm mentioning that right now, is because it said the communizing of women. State ownership of children. Like Hillary said, and I hate Hillary vehemently. She said that the state needed to get control of the children even earlier than age 5 so that they could completely demoralize them, completely take the idea of the Heavenly Father out of their mind, spiritually kill them is really what it is. See, if they couldn't kill them on the abortion table, they want to spiritually kill them before they could ever learn to love the Heavenly Father, Yahweh. You see what I'm saying? And if they get through those two gauntlets, then you're in the school system and you eventually will go to war. And if you can get through those gauntlets, maybe you, after you fight the war, it funds your college education. And if you get through that gauntlet, then, you know, they might want to give you 30 to 50 injections. You see what I'm saying? So the world is full of traps. Traps to kill the Anglo-Saxon white man. See, if you got through that, maybe you would end up in some kind of New Age religion or Gnostic religion, or maybe you'd end up in the Masonic coven. Because that's what it is. It's a coven. It's an imitation of the Christian church. It's the devil's church. Just like the Church of Satan is the devil's church, just like the synagogue of Satan is the devil's church. Yes. Just like the Catholic church is the devil's church. Always in the guise, they still have Christ hanging on the cross. You dig? So, he says that the state should own the children. And isn't that what has been taking place? If they want to take your children, they just take your children away from you and claim that they own them and own the rights to them. I wonder how long the Father will allow this to go on. I really do. He knows what he's doing, and believe me, something I was thinking about that is very, very interesting is these traitors who believe there is no God, boy, are they going to be in for a surprise when Judgment Day comes. Oh, my goodness. The shaking of the knees. They are going to flip out when they find out that the Father is there. See, a lot of them do this because they believe there is no God. See, if there was a God, why would he let all this go on that goes on, right? But they don't understand that we're here for a test. And whatever they steal from our children, when they do these horrible things to them, the Father will restore those children in the future. What I mean is, as the white race, I've been praying that the Father would, anybody touches our children in any way, form, or fashion that is not correct, that the angel of death would kill them, because certainly the justice system, which is the opposite of justice, is not going to do anything. And so I pray that the Father will send the angel of death to get them. But whatever they've harmed our children with, I believe the Father will restore those children in the future. Because that's what the Father's all about, restoring. It's a horror show, this particular world, full of traps. So, let's see where we are here. So that they say that, so he says here, that with the vanishing of property rights, listen, aren't they trying to get rid of property rights? With the vanishing of property rights, religion and morality will vanish, along with other bourgeois sentimentalities, that a governmental proletarian dictatorship must be set up by violence. You see how the Jews and the communists and Antifa, they all ascribe to violence, but they tell all of us, don't you say anything about being violent, or we'll have the foreign by Israel FBI come down and arrest you. But see, everybody knows that to get something done, it's going to require violence. The Founding Fathers told you that every once in a while, the tree of liberty must be watered with blood. In other words, it's going to take violence to get things done. No Jew or no communist is going to give up any ground by talking about something or trying to negotiate something. You're dealing with the wrong type of people. You must understand that. We cannot, it is going to require violence. That's just the way it is. And they're saying so right here. Listen, that a governmental proletarian dictatorship must be set up by violence, and that any theory that the two classes can get together is only a dodge on the part of the bourgeoisie who wish to avoid having their throats cut in a bloody proletarian revolution. Jesus Christ teaches that God is the Father of all life. Hold it. That's not true. Because if it were true, Jesus would have never said, any plant not planted by my heavenly Father will be plucked up. You see, this idea, this lie, one of the biggest lies in the world that you'll ever hear is we're all God's children. No, the satanic Jews were not born by the Father. He did not create them. And all these hybrids and all these other things, I think including the Negroes, are not created by him. If they were, they wouldn't be like they are. You see, like he said to the Jews, if you were Abraham's seed, then you would do the things that Abraham did. But they don't, because they're not. And neither are the blacks. And so this is a lie that the Father is that God is the Father of all life. But he is the creator. But people have stepped in, like the angels who came down and race mixed with our women, which is produced hybrid giants, and they taught how to hybridize with animals and seeds of the ground and all kinds of things against the wishes of the Father. So he didn't create that life. The Father didn't create those giants. The Father didn't create Cain. You see what I'm trying to say? So he's not the creator of all life. These things, they're spiritually dead from the womb, but yet they live at the same time. They're zombies, and yet they live, but they're not created of the Father. This is what happens when you step outside of his bounds. Now, what's interesting, though, is the Father could have made it, I would believe, so that if you mixed with another race, you couldn't have an offspring. But that would just legitimize just having raw sex all the time, because you wouldn't have to worry about getting pregnant. See, so it doesn't work that way. So it says Jesus Christ teaches that God is the Father of all life, which is not true. That the family unit and marriage are indissoluble. That parents should love their children and children honor their parents. That Christians should exercise love and charity toward their neighbors. That no political kingdom or worldly power should be sought by Christians as such, but rather personal kindness and a mastery over self. A mastery over self. That's an overcomer. And that qualifies under what I've been talking about for a very long time, about being in control of your feelings. This is what, when the woman is said to be the weaker sex, it's not that she's dumber than man. It's not that, yeah, she's a little weaker bodily, but it's more the most dangerous thing of all is her feelings and the mastery over herself in that sense. Now, men can be that way too. And that's what they're trying to encourage all men to be, feelings oriented. You see, everything's about your feelings. You hurt my feelings. I hurt your feelings. And your feelings are so important. As a matter of fact, your feelings are the most important thing in the world will tell you. But they're not the most important thing in the world. Not even close. It continues. Any government will be good if it is composed of good persons, and no government can be good that is built by persons of godless and immoral principles. Absolutely. Goodness is a day-to-day personal achievement, a contest with evil which constantly breaks down and must be taken up again. Oh, but the Apostle Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Yeah, sure, Paul, sure. Anyone who says that theories of Marx and Christ are alike is either a hopeless idiot or a woeful deceiver. But the siren call of Marxism to the altruist who clings to the title of Christian, quote-unquote, for the sake of lingering sentiment or financial or political expediency is that it promises to obtain by a foul means a pure, just, classless, equalitarian society. I think it should be egalitarian. I've never heard this word equalitarian, but it probably is a word. I've just never heard of it. I would say egalitarian would be the word. That means everybody's equal, even though we're not. So it says, by means of rage and hate to usher in the reign of brotherly love, by means of plunder and gory, I think that should say, well, it says gory class war, to achieve peace, and by means of anti-moral propaganda to elevate mankind. To elevate humankind, not mankind. Because they certainly, the world does not want to elevate the white man. They want to elevate the human, the colored man, which the Jew is incorporated with that. By discouraging the lazy, incompetent, and debauched man from the belief that his condition is any way the result of his own faults, but rather that all sufferings and inequalities are due to capitalism, it promotes to eradicate these sufferings through revolution. Okay, it's the same thing as the blacks, what we were reading, were being taught that they're not responsible for the things that they do. It's the white man's fault. It's the white man's society's fault. It's capitalism. You see what I'm saying? This is exactly... So you can see that communism is in operation in the school system. Not only is it laden down with Freemasons, which are communists, which are socialists, which are race mixing. They love races. They love all the races. They love hybrids. They love the devil. The kindly man cannot see that, as Hernshaw says, socialism debilitates and demoralizes those whom it seeks to succor. It is the cry of adult babyhood for public nurses and pap bottles, and by means of doles, poor relief, free meals, free education, free medical services, free everything, all paid for by the industrious and careful, it breeds and fosters a vast, demoralized mass of paupers and vagrants, battening contentedly and permanently upon the industry of their more efficient and self-respecting neighbors. The ultimate source of our social evils is not economic, says T.W. Headley, in Darwinism and modern socialism. And as soon as we realize that whatever social malady we have to deal with, it originates with human weakness. Human weakness, see? And folly, more than with outward circumstances. We have a principle that will guide us, unquote. Socialism, quote, that is Christian, is not socialism. There is an epigram on the to the effect that socialism is Christian only in so far as it is not socialism, and socialism only as far as it is not Christian. Modern predatory socialism despises and ridicules as only sham socialism. The religious, purely voluntary associations for cooperative production, quote-unquote, which were formed in England, of course, subsequent to 1848 by Christian groups calling themselves socialists, quote-unquote. Dr. Robert Flint says of these Christian socialists, quote-unquote, they did not teach a single principle or doctrine peculiar to socialism, but rather by their ethical and religious fervor struck at the very roots of socialism, unquote. They had no quarrel with the existing social system as such. They gave no countenance to projected raids on the land and capital. They utterly rejected the doctrine that character and destiny are determined by the materialistic circumstance. Above all, they repudiated with abhorrence the idea of a class war and the ferocious savagery of the Communist Manifesto of Marx and Engels. Dr. C.F. Raven's Christian Socialism, quote-unquote, tells the pathetic but ridiculous story of 41 of these community enterprises, all of which failed disastrously and failed in a short time. He illustrates and specifies as causes of their uniform collapse the vicious principle of equality, of reward irrespective of output or ability, lack of business capacity, quarrels, indiscipline, greed, dishonesty, slackness, inefficiency. It was said, for example, you could always tell a Christian socialist by the cut of the cooperative trousers. Now listen, these are all the things that they're teaching. Brotherhood, equality, which is egalitarianism, and what's the other one? Liberalism, you know, being liberal, liberty. See, listen to what it says right here. The vicious principle of equality, of reward, irrespective of output or ability, affirmative action. What does the Bible say? If you don't work, you don't eat. But communism says it doesn't matter. You don't work, you're going to eat anyway. You see what I'm saying? And this is everything to do with affirmative action. So you can see, I told you that we are in the age of affirmative action. That's my, you know, that's my opinion. That's my belief. And it's obvious that it's right. Listen, this is affirmative action. The vicious principle of equality, of reward, irrespective of output or ability. What are the children in sports, in school doing now? Everybody receives a trophy, correct? Doesn't matter if you won, doesn't matter if you didn't even run. You see, again, the vicious principle of equality and of reward, irrespective of output or ability. Lack of business capacity, this is affirmative action. Quarrels, indiscipline, that's the niggas for sure. Greed, dishonesty, slackness, inefficiency. You see? Let's continue. When the incentive of competition in private profit is removed, only compulsion remains as the driving force. Compulsion. Let's look up the word. Now, you know about buying things compulsively, right? Let's take a look at the word. Compulsion. The action or state of forcing or being forced to do something. An irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. In other words, you wear that mask whether you really believe in this thing or not. That's you were being, you know, forced, you know what I mean? An irresistible urge to behave in a certain way. In other words, toe the line. Don't be a nail that stands out above the rest. You'll be the first one to likely to be hit, correct? So this is what our society does. This is a very communistic thing. An irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. So you're in the workplace and they're telling you, you need to love homosexuals. You're in the church. They're telling you, you need to love homosexuals. You need to agree with race mixing. You need to dislike your own race. An irresistible urge to behave in a certain way, especially against one's conscious wishes. Now, you can't put the blacks in there. They don't have a conscience. Let's look at another. Let me see a little more about the act of compelling, constraint, coercion. The state of condition of being compelled. Psychology, a strong, usually irresistible impulse to perform an act, especially one that is irrational or contrary to one's will. Is that not what the government's trying to do to us today? They want you to take an injection. They want you to believe that they're capable of coming up with an injection that would actually help you. They want to be your savior, when in reality, they just want to kill us. Period. A strong, usually irresistible impulse to perform an act, especially one that is irrational or contrary to one's will. You will wear the mask. You will stay in your house. You will obey, even though you know that it's a violation of your conscience. You will accept gay marriage. You will accept transvestites. A strong, usually irresistible impulse to perform an act, especially one that is irrational and or contrary to one's will. See, gay marriage is contrary to the world. It's contrary to the Heavenly Father. It's contrary to nature. But you're supposed to accept it and play along with it like you agree with it. So this is what I was talking about. You go into Walmart or you go into, you know, you see people all of a sudden, everyone's wearing masks where, you know, where they're being compelled to do it even though they know it's foolish. And they all know it's foolish. I've talked to them. And basically, they're playing along because they're being compelled to play along so that the lie is perpetuated. Okay, back now. So here we are again about this what it was saying here. When the incentive or competition and private profit is removed, only compulsion remains as a driving force. You get it now? Without dictatorship and force, any form of socialism collapses. So in order for socialism to work, it's saying that it must have a dictatorship and force, like the police force. And may the force, which is the devil, be with you, they say. You see? So it has to have a dictatorship and force. So we have democracy, which Ezra Pound says democracy is the definition of a country ruled by Jews. So these Jews have a dictatorship in these democracies, and they have a force. They've got jackbooted Negroes in New York throwing people down onto the floor, body slamming them on the floor for not wearing a mask, for not playing along. Because you have to have a dictatorship and a force for socialism to work. If you don't, socialism collapses, it says here. As socialist communist G.B. Shaw has said, quote, compulsory labor with death as the final punishment is the keystone of socialism. Fabian Tract number 51, 1906. Get it? Compulsory labor? In other words, forced labor with the threat of death as the final punishment is the keystone of socialism. F.J.C. Hernshaw in Survey of Socialism, quote-unquote, 1929, says, it is a profound truth seen equally clear by keen-sighted Christians and by keen-sighted socialists that the principles of the religion of love are wholly incompatible with the only operative form of socialism. There again, the admission that the two can't coexist. Remember, just remember what we found out in this book so far. That it's just been reiterated right there. That religion and socialism or communism are incompatible. So how could you be a socialist Christian? Or a Christian socialist? Right? See, this is, we play games all the time. I went in and I bought a 2x4x8 feet. And when you go to purchase it, you say, I want a 2x4x8 feet. But it's only 3/4 inch and it's 3.5 inches by 8 feet. It's not a 2x4 at all. I guess 1 3/4, excuse me. 3.5 inches. And that we're calling it a 2x4 though. But this changed a long time ago. See, this is how crazy this world it really is. So we all play along this game. I don't know why it is. I don't know, you know, why we have to call it a 2x4 when it's not a 2x4. But it used to be a 2x4. See, this is what's known as unjust weights and measures. We're trained to just go along with the lie. Just call it a 2x4. But it's not a 2x4. But just call it one. So, it continues, that which incites the proletariat to attack all other classes, in other words, the lower class, what they want to do in communism is get the lower class to believe that they can rise themselves up in society if they attack the middle class. So, it says, that which incites the proletariat to attack all other classes, which seeks to drag down the prosperous to the level of the base, which lusts for confiscation of capital, which projects the extermination of landowners. Is that happening now? Do we see the confiscation of capital by police forces? And by illegitimate companies that aren't part of the government like the IRS? Do we see that happening? Do we see them taking away capital and land? Which projects, the extermination of landowners, which envisages the eradication of competition by the reintroduction of slavery under the criminal dictatorship. Now, who said competition was a sin? Rockefeller, Rogenfelder. Now, you see, that shows you they're communists. You understand, if there's no competition, there's no point. If everybody gets a trophy, why even bother running the race? You just get your trophy, right? Competition is a sin. So, what communism does is it eradicates competition. See, a one-world government, there should be competition between countries to see who's the best country, to see who has the best government, to see who has the best medical, to see who makes the best products, to see who has the best living standards, etc., etc. See, this globalism is socialism. Everything should be very clear on what I'm saying. It means there's no more competition. Which means we don't get better. Countries don't get better and rise above other countries. And do what happens is everybody's brought down to the base level and it's all mediocrity. See, in communism, if everyone in North America is going to be on the welfare dole and some of us are just going to go out and work hard, after a while you say, why am I even bothering? You see, it saps everything. It saps competition. It saps work ethic. It saps competition is healthy. Healthy. The Olympics is becoming now not competitive anymore. Socialism has seeped into the world in every single place it could possibly seep into. And it's right in front of our eyes. Now that I mention this, this should make a lot of sense to you. I hope you listen to the end here, and I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. I'm going to finish this little paragraph, and we're going to call it here. So it says that the proletariat attacking all other classes, which seeks to drag down the prosperous to the level of the base. That's what this particular virus is supposed to do. It's supposed to kill all the middle class businesses, you see, and bring it down to the level of the base. which lusts for confiscation of capital, which projects the extermination of landowners, which envisages the eradication of competition by the reintroduction of slavery under a criminal dictatorship. In their strictest sense, Christianity and socialism are irreconcilable, says the Reverend T.W. Bustle in a recent Bampton lecture. It is a profound truth that socialism is the natural enemy of religion, which means it's the natural enemy of God, the heavenly establishment, and the natural enemy of his children, which are the white Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Nordic, and Germanic peoples, which is the heavenly establishment on earth. So, he said, it is a profound truth that socialism is the natural enemy of religion, echoed in the British Socialist Party in its official manifesto. We're going to stop there. We're on page 35. How can that be? It's only three pages. But I do have a lot to say about these things, folks. No doubt about it. How could I not? So, this is what we're dealing with. So you can see that socialism has permeated everything. It's permeated all the countries being brought down to base level, all of the schools being brought down to base level, all of the races being brought down to base level, a false equality. All of it's a falsehood. All of it is false equality, false liberty, and false brotherhood. Boy, praise be to the Father in heaven. He really gave a good show today with this one. There's a lot of good shows, but there's a lot being learned right here. This blows my mind when you think about it. If you think about what has just been revealed here, and it should really, really hit home. It should really help us to understand what's really taking place in the world and what this virus is about. It's just another Jewish revolution designed to denuder, designed to bring in totalitarian control, to bring the middle class to its feet. You know, I always give a piece of advice, which is very good, at the end of the Rabbit Hole radio show, and that is, don't go down the wrong hole. A man without a face.